Welcome to the Elaborators podcast, where we, funnily enough, elaborate on things. And in particular, faith and life and where everything meets in between, as fun, clean or rough as that can be. And today we are talking reputations, so that could get pretty ugly. Especially with the guests I've got in the studio today.
We've put got us in the spot.
Yeah, there you go. Good way to introduce you all. We've got Pastor Stan back in the house. He's been on holiday while we've been filming podcasts. And I got Pastor Inike here as well. Welcome.
Pastor Dr. Reverend Inike.
Thank you. Talking about reputation.
You got enough letters of the alphabet after your name or before your name?
I've been at the house long enough.
Yeah, I emphasize that because last Friday, Dr. Reverend Pastor Inike got honored for being an ordained minister for 20 years.
Quick, where's my applause button?
Boring.
That's boring. What ordination is worth for you guys.
They were both orange, I promise. The buttons were both. That's our real audience for you. That's
good on you. Thank you.
There
thank
they are. You. Sorry. That does not deserve an air horn, but that's pretty funny. That can go on my reputation as a producer. Congratulations, Inike.
Thank you.
On
thank
20
you.
Years.
Yeah.
And Stan, where have you been?
Where have I been? I've been, it seems like forever ago already because I've been back for 10 days or so now, but almost 2 weeks. 2 weeks. But we were in the U.S. Seeing some family and things. But the highlight of the trip was going to the Drive Conference in Atlanta. That was amazing. It was inspirational. It was affirming and, of course, challenging as well. Lots of things to tweak. So we're redoing everything in our church back here in Melbourne. And, it's great fun.
Did you see any Floridian wildlife?
I did. We saw we took a walk and saw probably 30 or 40 alligators.
Just out for a stroll?
We were out for a stroll. They were mostly in the water, but one was pretty close up on the bank, right kind of beside us.
Any on the golf courses? Like we get the kangaroos on the golf course here?
No. I have seen alligators on the golf course before, but not on this trip. Saw none out there. In fact, I was at a different golf course than I used to go to because the one that I used to go to was dead. It was closed down. It was once vibrant, but then it had gone away and had a reputation for being great.
Right.
But then its reality kind of, was sad.
Mm. That deserves that. For the golf course.
Right. I thought that was for the segue.
I'm with you on the segue. Pastor Stan's trying very hard to get from the introduction to the first question.
Deanna tells me I do that way too fast and I shut down. Go ahead.
Let's hop on the segue wagon. So the question that we can start here is your reputations. Do you care about them?
I think to some extent, reputation is important depending on what it is.
Yep.
So I think you can misrepresent yourself by a wrong reputation. So reputation is important, but it's got to be something that's significant.
So as part of our series here at Werribee Baptist Church right now, our podcast often aligns with what we're preaching on a Sunday. Mm. We did talk about a church that had a reputation much like Pastor Stan's golf course in Florida, segue. I'm with you. So Pastor Stan, can you, just for those that didn't make it on Sunday, can you give us a very quick recap on what we're talking about here?
Sure. We're going through a series on the seven churches of Revelation. And the church at Sardis was a church that Jesus said, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're actually dead. So the instructions he gave them was, you got to wake up. That's a reality check. You need to admit what the problems are. And then he said to strengthen what little bit remains, which I call working out. So you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to work out. And he's telling the church to do these things. And working out was really just getting back to the basics of what you fundamentally knew when you started following Jesus and being passionate about him. Go back there and kind of start over again. Repent of the things that have crept in and caused you to compromise. And then we finished up by talking about walking worthy of the calling that's on our lives. And that was the church there. But then we need to flip that really and consider, because the church is made up of individuals. You know, it's easy. We could sit here all day.
It's not a building, is it?
No, but we could sit here all day and take pot shots at churches.
Right.
You know, and say, well, that church is this, that church is that, and they've done this, and they've done that. But what we're really saying is those people in that church did this or that or the other, because the people are what make up the church. Mm-hmm. And the reputation we're talking about, you need to consider individually, okay, does my reputation match my reality, or am I faking it? You know, that's really what it comes down to.
And, yep.
You think about reputation, you asked if it was important to you. And I used to Google myself, you know, to see what my reputation was. And I stopped, you know.
Dismissed the reality.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's not fun. That's not helping my ego at all. So, right. No, we're going to stop doing that. So
how would you want to know, or does our church's reputation have value to you?
Knowing the reputation is good. Because if you don't know what people perceive you as or think about you as, then you may make some serious mistakes in making assumptions that even that you're starting at a neutral place. If we have a bad reputation in the community, well, you need to do whatever you can to fix that, to repair that. Are there apologies that need to be made? Are there systems and structures that need to be put in place to show the community that maybe bad stuff that happened in the past won't happen again, and to show that you actually care, and that if you've hurt people, that you're going to take care of that, but on the flip side, if your reputation is really positive, that you're doing great things in our community and all that, that's good to know. But you don't want to rest on that, because all the time people tell me how blessed they are by our church, or blessed they are by something I did or said or whatever. And I don't even remember saying or doing it. And I'm like, okay, don't give me credit, because, you know, I know who I am. I know my reality. And I know that if I let that stuff go to my head, then I'm going to be in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's funny, because a lot of my job here is to care very much about our church's reputation.
Yeah,
in the sense of the getting our name out there for people to find us to come to church. So it's not about us making sure that we are out there in everyone's forethought because we're the best church and we've got great marketing and it's about presenting as somewhere safe to come and experience God and find Jesus and things.
And true, because I think reputation, we all know in a broader sense, the reputation of the church has been challenged over the years. Many things have happened. So it's a perception that others outside of the faith community do see a reputation of the church. So I think this is why it's so important for us. I think identity is important. If we can really stick to our identity for who we are in Christ, and I think our reputation will be a lot better. So, because it is an organization, but reputation is a big thing in a society about the church. So, and I think it's a great topic to be able to talk about.
So enough about the organizational reputation. Then what about the individuals in those reputations and viewers, listeners and things? How it can be hard for many people as Christians, in a few different ways, to even let other people know that they're Christian, because of a lot of the reputation of the church, the capital C and things. But it's there's so much value and importance in that as a Christian, being the light for people. So how can people be confident in presenting themselves and knowing that how can you present that reputation, the Christian reputation, not the church reputation, the Christian reputation as an individual?
I think the lifestyle. Lifestyle does speaks and represent who you are as a follower of Christ. And I think this is where the sort of a reality check got to match our what we are representing. That if it is about us as individual, then we can easily fall into the trap of more self-centered, that it is about me. But if it is about Christ, I think as Christian, we need to be reminded ourselves always that when we are out there as an individual, that we are representing something unique. It is our faith in God. And if we start and stay true to that, to be faithful, then everything else we do, we say, and the way we connect does represent the reputation of who we are as Christian follower of Christ.
I think one of the things as we're even having this conversation and you think it through, we're talking about our lifestyle representing Christ and the reputation we have. The dangerous side of this for me, and I react pretty strongly to it when I have any sense of it, is that we can easily move to a place of legalism, where it's a list of rules and do's and don'ts, and well, this is what Christians do, don't, and this is what they don't do, and everything, and then trying to match our life up to that. And I would suggest that you can actually do that without having any relationship with God at all. You can be religious and you can keep a list of do's and don'ts and everything, but not really have an active faith.
You can get that sometimes where you're like, that person to be a good Christian.
Yeah. I love looking at that. And you see they got the right haircut and everything. It's like, they would make a great Christian. and they probably would, but what is a great Christian?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus defined that by the love that we have for each other. Mm. You know, he talks about they'll know that we're his disciples. They'll know we're following Jesus by the love that we have for each other. And that's for each other within the church. But then he also takes that further and says that we need to be walking in wisdom concerning those who are outside. We need to be careful so that those outside, when they're looking at us, they're going to see that same thing. They're going to be able to see the love that we have. They're going to be able to see the peace and joy that we have in a world that sometimes is not peaceful or joyful, and there would be every reason to be discouraged. And you know, when they watch us going through difficult times, or they watch how we relate to each other, a lot of people are anti-church because they've seen how churches behave inside. They've seen the civil wars that have happened and things like that, and how even when the sad days when church leaders fall, when they do something that is just, you know, something that's really hard to come back from. And if Christians pile on and abuse those people when they're hurt, when they're down, when they've messed up, and legitimately they've messed up and they did things they shouldn't have done, but how do we respond to them? Do we attack them, and do we shoot our wounded, or do we lovingly try to restore them and things? So that's a sidetrack. But
so the self-reflection, though, when you're looking in the mirror at yourself, and does my reputation, well, what I would like my reputation to be, actually, is that the real world? You know, is that what I present? Is that what people see me? How do you self-reflect on the Christianity side of things when you're looking in the mirror? How do we assess? How do we self-assess our spiritual health and reputation?
Yeah, I think self-assessment is a check. Is a regular check to see where we are in our faith. That is not a routine, but it is a discipline. So by doing that, it's just like checking the car and see if the oil is running out or need service or need to renew certain things. Regularly, daily, think about the aspect of our spiritual life. How is our devotional life? How is our reading life? How is our relational life? How is everything that is significant to be a Christian? How is it? Which one is stronger? Which one is weakening? So that we can work to ensure that when we live our daily life, it comes out from a healthier place. But it starts with devotion and start with regular disciplining ourselves so that we are almost like prepare for what yet to come. And if we are not strong spiritually, if we don't check these things, the car would hit the road and then the next minute, you know, petrol's running out. And then what we're going to do? So it's pre-preparing ourselves by doing the regular assessment through our discipline of our devotional life. Whatever that may be, whether it's how are we connected to the body? Are we growing? Are we just stagnated? Asking all these questions help us to stay healthy in our spiritual life.
That's good. So then, okay, imagine you've looked in the mirror and you've self-assessed and you reckon you got it all sorted.
Alarm bells. Complacency.
Right. Why alarm bells, Stan?
Oh, because anytime you think you've got it all sorted out, then you're egotistical and proud. I'm sorry. I don't even know how to soften that. But to ever think you've got it all sorted out is massive. I would suggest that one self-assessment would be the ability to admit and understand that you still got a long way to go. When you look in the mirror and you just think, oh, man, I don't like what I see. You know, and again, it's not that you're self-deprecating all the time and just beat yourself up about every little thing, but I think you should be able to look and say, okay, am I in a better place today than I was a year ago? Are my spiritual disciplines there? And again, you can have the spiritual disciplines without them actually being spiritual. You can do the activity, but is it changing me? How am I interacting with my fellow person when I get cut off in traffic, am I loving that person and making the best assumptions about, you know, that they didn't see me or they did this or that? Or am I giving them a piece of my mind and laying on the horn? And if you've seen me driving and I did that to you, please forgive me. Confession time here.
Is this one of these where you preach to yourself moments again?
Yeah. So, but seriously, are you are you more generous with other people? Or are you more judgmental of other people, and are you harsh? Or, you know, and you can look at your relationships as in self-assessment and say, okay, do I have relationships that are damaged and that aren't loving and aren't kind and aren't that where I don't want to see that person? Or if I'm going to this event, oh, I hope that person's not there because I know we got issues. The Bible actually has things to say about that. If you know that, you need to go take care of it. So again, I think evaluating relationships is a good self-assessment. But again, looking in the mirror, if you think you got it all together, there's probably at least one problem, and that would be pride.
Right. Mm. Yep. And then potentially setting yourself up for a fall.
Mm. Yep.
So, okay, then we've done that. We've self-assessed and we have not got it all together. How do we rejuvenate it? How do we get back on track? You mentioned some disciplines before.
Hmm.
Is it part of that?
I think, yes. Complacency is we can easily stuck in that mold of thinking that we got it all and we got it right. But I think getting others to look at it as well, mm-hmm. I think part of it, that because there's a chance that we can have a wrong impression. The way we see ourselves might not be the right thing, but getting others to have a look, what do you think? What do you see in me?
So that being I don't married.
See? Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether it is your partner, whether it is a friend, or whether it's a fellow pastor, quite often it helps. It's part of the whole discernment, I think. What does other people see in me that I don't see in me? I think it's a great way to be able to say, well, I'm being so hard on myself, and yet I shouldn't be too hard on myself. I'm doing okay. Or I'm less concerned. And others say, I'm concerning about you. I think, getting others to be a part of the discernment, it'll help us to be able to rejuvenate and regain. And it's almost about redemption. And if we look at the church's side, it's the turning back, go back and confess and all of that is to really finally redeem what you lost. And that's, I think, we wake up to say we need to find that first love, that commitment, that passion. It's a redemptive story that we have to relearn.
So that's a really good one because it touches on that sense of community around you. But it's so far, like, where does the community part of it play into it? So that's a little bit of what you've touched on there is the various people calling you out sometimes, or maybe lovingly suggesting different things, but what role does community play in the solution? Like, is it getting with community, being a part of community?
Yeah, I would suggest that again, your self-assessment is going to be within community, and your recovery or restoration will be within community, because as people are, if you're in a truly loving community around people that actually care about you, They may be frustrated with you because you've done some silly things or whatever, but if they love you and they care about you, they are going to be part of your restoration process. I think, wrongly assume that our spiritual life is just between us and God. Scripture tells us that if you can't love the person sitting beside you who you can see, then how are you going to ever love God who you can't see? You know, so it puts a high value on our personal relationships here. But that community is going to help us. They're going to love us through it. And even further than that, if we've strayed far away and we need to wake up and then make that journey back, it's going to be people that we may have alienated our community. We may have to find new community, new people, may even need to get some professional help, some counseling and things like that. And to restore our own mind, because when we talk about our spirit, usually we try to isolate these things and that's our heart and that's inside of us. But it's all interconnected. Our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health are all connected. And Pastor Enike, Pastor Dr. Reverend Enike has done extensive work on this. I think community is where you actually see that fleshed out and played out. That's where you can engage in all those spaces and get people alongside you to hold you accountable. Accountability and encouragement, those are probably the two key words about community and restoration.
Right. So changing tact a little bit from the individual that's trying really hard to align or maintain their spiritual health and reputation, what about the ones that live one life behind closed doors they've got all the spiritual disciplines and all of that, but their reputation outside does not reflect, like it's a double life a little bit there. You got anything to share on the risks of that, or how it doesn't, like it's not the way to go?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one, because we love to preach the word on Sunday morning and expect our people to be able to live it out. There's two worlds, the world of the church that is in a place and location and building we gather together and the fellowship of his people. It's almost like one world in itself, and there is the other world, the society, the secular world in which we engage and work. And there's no doubt it can be challenging for some people to be able to really reflect and show the the love, or someone can be lift their hands up and praise God, and then the next minute driving down the road and somebody drive past and tailgating, and then the next minute things change. So it's part of a human being that we often forgot about who we are. We forgot that who we are and what we the reputation and the quality of life there, and the witnesses that we are to have, that we often don't think about it. And I think the double lives, to some degree, there's a sense of fear. There's a sense of, people will have afraid they might lose friends through that. And so they turn to become a different person altogether. So I think there's some of the hindrance to people living a double life because of who it is, the community, the place, what they do right there. Just fear of really living the true life that they have. And I think they hide through that. I think that's all I can pick up.
I remember one instance where I was pastoring a church, and we had a man that was a deacon in the church. And I met someone else in the community, and somehow the conversation led to a place of realizing that we both knew this man, right? And the reaction that the person in the community, who wasn't a follower of Jesus at all by any stretch or whatever, when I mentioned this person, he said, "He's a part of your church?" Yeah, yeah. And then he proceeded to tell me why he was shocked that that person was part of my church. And that's sad. And again, you don't want, you want to be careful about just hearing the judgments and everything. And you weigh it up and you say, okay, are you exaggerating? And I hope you're exaggerating, maybe. But you realize then that, oh, wow, I'm on display. Even when I'm not trying to be on display, because clearly the things that he had said and done and that this guy had observed, if he knew that that guy was going to be talking to me within the next month or whatever, he would have thought more about the way he was behaving. So yeah, I'm not sure that was the question, but that's an example of when our reputation, when we're doing it damage, when we're doing even the reputation of the church in Christ damage. Now, on the flip side, I would tell that guy that was asking me, oh, he goes to your church? I said, yep, church is the best place for him, you know?
Right, and, yeah. Because I think both of those answers kind of cover both scenarios, right? Like the spiritually hidden, or like, you know, spiritually got it together, but maybe publicly isn't doing their best. But then also you can be publicly look very spiritual and then internal not have that drive either, all those disciplines. So is that like the humility and the self-awareness? Like, is that integral to being able to reassess yourself? You got to be humble about it.
Yes, I think we know quite well when Jesus talk about, you know, learn from me by being humble and by being gentle, and you will find rest to your soul. So the humility is significant to part of a follower of Christ. So already, humility is so important. But I also think that, you know, our double-sided of who we are, it's an ongoing tension that we go through, that we constantly battle with all the time to ensure that we walk the pathway that we are equipped to walk in. And it can doesn't take much to be able to lead us astray to get off. But, you know, humility is a huge, big thing, that once we lost the humbleness and being gentle in ourselves as an attitude, it's an attitudinal things that we ought to discipline ourselves. And when we have that sense of humility, it's a power in itself that can change the game. And I think we need to just tap into it's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if that's alive in us, it's part of awakening the fact that if the fruit of Spirit, it's an incarnational, missional, because that's the Word becoming flesh in us. Then that, when once we experience that, then the fruit, people will see the fruit without us realizing it, but it's done out of humility.
So, Stan, what are some practical, if there's people watching, listening, that they're going to go home, or they're at home, they're going to self-assess, what are some practical steps? How do we fix this?
Well, I think the probably the simplest step that you can take is just spend time praying about it. Asking God to reveal. David said in one of the Psalms, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my way. See if there be any wicked thing within me." And I'm quoting probably King's English there, because that's where I remember learning it when I was a kid. But just asking God, "Search me, O God." You know, in our staff prayer time today, we're all reading together through the Book of Revelation, and one of our staff members mentioned in Revelation 21, I think it is, that there's a long list of the types of people that will be thrown into outer darkness and not inherit the kingdom of God. And you've got witchcraft and idolaters and things like that. But the list starts out with cowards. And that actually got my attention, because when I'm talking about this prayer and ask God, I was at an event just a week ago, and one of the challenges and one of the moments was to spend some time reflecting and asking God, "God, what do you need to say to me? What do I need to hear from you?" And the words I got for that was, "What are you afraid of?" So this morning, when that staff member mentioned cowards, You know, it's like, I'm not a murderer. I'm not practicing witchcraft and everything. But are there times when I might be cowardly about my faith? You know, or I might be afraid to take steps that God is clearly directing me to and even leading the church to. You know, so it's kind of sobering. But that goes back to, again, saying, all right, I don't always have it all together. And it may not be that I'm out there on the street corners, you know, starting fights and swearing at people and ready to throw down. But it could be that I'm just not, that I'm acting fearful in a place where I shouldn't be, you know. And so there's always things, and just praying about it. So in that moment when I felt, you know, God saying that, it was because I was praying and asking. So I would challenge the audience, if you're listening to this, to just take 5-10 minutes each day and just ask God, hey, God, search me. What do I need to hear from you? What do you need to be telling me? What do you need to be asking me? What do I need to answer? And you'll be surprised how God will direct your thoughts and your minds and your emotions to that very thing that he wants to work on. And hey, don't try to do 10 things at once. Listen for that one thing.
Right.
And then work on that. Make some effort on that.
And the listen.
Listen.
Be humble and willing to listen. Yeah. And then hear what it is God's got to share. I like that. I think we should end there. We've hit our time.
Yep.
Great.
That was good. I hope our listeners and viewers got a little bit out of that and can go self-reflect and take some time this week to pray.
Mm. I think it's fun. Yeah. I think that's the first time I've done a podcast with
it might be the first combo.
The Pastor Reverend Doctor.
Maybe the first one. Yeah. Thank you, Stan.
I'm sorry.
That's going to – I'll have to put that into the description.
And better, my friend.
Right. Absolutely. So you got to add that in, Pastor Reverend Dr. Friend.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Simon.
Thank you.
Hey,
thanks,
that's Simon. All right. Let's finish that off. As always, if you've got some reflections on today's episode, let us know. Jump in the comments. And we'd love to hear. We are getting a couple of comments in there now. It's great to read them and be a part of everybody listening at home or in the car or wherever they are. And we got, I think, one more week of Revelation next week. Two more podcasts.
And then we go back and start from the beginning.
Yeah. Then we'll think of something new. Then we'll think of something new, right? Yeah. All right. Well, that's it from us. Have a great week. And we will see you all whenever we Sunday. See you all, really.
Let's just commit next week.
Done.
Yep. We'll see you next week.